Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 3 through 8. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on even-numbered verses. 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 8. Let's stand together as we read. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictible according to the power of God. And let's bow for prayer. Lord, we ask your blessing upon this day. We thank you, Lord, for each person that's here today. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just work as we hear the preaching of your word today. Be with Pastor as he brings a message to us. And we do pray, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, Savior, that they might come to know you today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Isn't it wonderful to have God in us and around us and always with us? Amen? Sheltered in God's arms. Well, that's a great truth to contemplate as you approach life. God's going to protect you and guide you. Walk with Him. Amen? Second Timothy chapter number 1, we read those verses. I'd like to read them again this morning and follow along there in your Bible if you would please as we go 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to back up to verse 1 and read down through verse number 14. Paul, Jesus Christ, by the will of God. You know, we don't pick and choose what we're going to do and say, I'd like to do this for the Lord. God leads us and guides us and we yield to His call and His direction. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my full conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm also persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in mind, I put in thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Corinthians 15 says that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Christ the victor over it for us. Who hath abolished death, the Bible says, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher, apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Aren't you glad God does the keeping when he does the saving? We don't commit salvation unto him and then hold on. We commit it to him and he holds us. He says, I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of or from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Or that good thing which is committed unto us, dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Especially notice verse number 6, where he says, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And then in verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, and or in the last part, the afflictions of the gospel, be a partaker of them. And then in verse number 13 he says, hold fast the form of sound words. And then in 14, the good thing committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Paul gives several instructions here that are very important for all of us, but especially I want to focus to the young people graduating, but all of us are still in that process. Having graduated, we are sharing what they will soon be encountering. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, again we seek your face. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit of each. I pray that you'd speak in me and through me. I pray that each person here would be open to your word, and I pray that each of us would let the Holy Spirit minister to us and help us apply the word of God in our lives in a practical way. We pray, Father, if there's anybody here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, that one or ones might come to know him today before it would be eternally. Lord, bless this time, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk about steps for your building. Steps for your building. As I mentioned, I have in mind the young people who are graduating. I feel for them in many ways, but think of them in so many ways too. What a venturing out into life, leaving the nest, flapping the wings, and we don't want you to crash. We don't want you to crash. And I have the young people in mind who are leaving the growing up stage of life. They're for all practical purposes have been adults now for a year or so, and they are adults. And leaving the growing up stage of life and beginning a new stage, and the new stage is called the rest of your life. The rest of your life. Oftentimes, to the young person, graduation is a sign of completion. Wrong. In essence, graduation is the beginning of new steps forward, building your own life. Building your own life. To graduate is to take a step from a lower level to a higher level. One is to commence or begin to go forward on a higher level of initiative. Don't need mom and daddy to do more. You do it on initiative. To seek for jobs and educational opportunities, initiative. A higher level of learning where you're going to continue to learn all of your life. I've forgotten many things that I've learned, and so I'm relearning them. But learning is always a process, amen? Always. A higher level of application now. Part of the idea of discipline for children is so that when they graduate, when they become self-disciplined, that's a higher level of application where we take the things that we've learned and we apply them without being forced to. Self-discipline. And of course, a higher level of accountability. We are accountable all the time to our parents growing up, but now we have to focus even more on our accountability to people around us, but also our accountability ultimately to God Himself. To God Himself. In order to take the steps in our building, many things had to be accomplished first, but it's important to view graduation as a step forward, not a step of finality. If you look at it that way, you're through for sure. Young people growing up have experienced life's circumstances that to the most part are the result of decisions that have been made for them by others. You know, I feel sorry for some of the children in our day of what they experience circumstantially that are not their fault. And I frequently deal with scenarios where kids are caught up in situations which are not their fault. And growing up, young people, you've experienced many of life's circumstances that are the result of decisions that others have made. Graduation means that you're going to be increasingly facing circumstances that will be the result of decisions for which you are primarily now responsible. It's the beginning of building a new phase called this is your life. And we're all in that process. No one, young people, will be to blame for the life decisions that you will be making but you. Many people try to blame where they are from, but where we go hinges on the decisions that we make now. And so we have to decide that, yes, I'll accept that responsibility. We've been given things, equipped with things, and we've begun to establish a set of personal values, and now it's time to start using them, to start incorporating them. What rules and guidelines of living will I establish in my life? Thank God, parents that have helped establish some of those. But when somebody graduates, they have to say, you know what? I've been reared in a certain way, and there are reasons. And as I mentioned last week, when we get to be about 16, our parents get very dumb, right? And then when we're 18, they've lost their mind. And then 19, 20, 21, all of a sudden mom and dad must have been to school some things all over again. Well, let me say, when we start venturing into life, we realize that what we've been taught has substance to it. Amen. And it has shaped us, but it will also guide us. Although life circumstances happen upon all of us, many of those circumstances we'll face will be results of decisions for which we're responsible. I tell you what, when people get in difficult circumstances, they need to look back and say, why am I here? And often they can see a bad decision they made, a bad choice they made. And we say, Lord, I made the wrong choice. Now help me. Songwriter said, dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hand, some beauty may remain. Sometimes we find ourselves that way, but it's our responsibility. The life that you lead, young people, and that we lead, adults here, the life we lead will be mostly a compilation of the choices and decisions that we make. All of us will continue to be impacted in life by those decisions and choices we make even today. In the passage of Scripture that we've looked at, the Apostle Paul encourages Timothy to take the right forward steps in his life and ministry for the Lord. Take the right steps forward. And these steps are based on, first of all, a solid foundation. I'm thankful for the young people that we have here, and I know Skylar's graduation's at 1, and I'm sure that too many things going on couldn't be here before the graduation. But I'm thankful for the solid foundation that the young people from our church have had in and through the local church, but in and through their parental structure as well. Had them in church, taught them right and wrong. And what a solid foundation. When we approach life, we have to look at what we've been entrusted with as a valuable life lesson from our parents, our grandparents, our pastors, our teachers, and other important people in our lives. In Timothy's case, his spiritual foundation, the Apostle Paul wrote, was formed by his grandmother and his mother. What a heritage some have, looking at generations of people that have served the Lord. The Apostle Paul mentioned this solid foundation being an unfeigned faith or a sincere faith. There's a lot of people that are religious but insincere. And what we have is a sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, and ought to be demonstrated by a sincere faith of putting those principles into action in our lives. Faith, seated conviction based on truth that we've heard. Each of us has to come to that place. You know, one thing that has always interested me is watching, even having observed it in my own life, experienced it, but watching in other people's lives as they're taught certain things, and then they begin looking at life from other people's perspective. And hopefully they come back to a balance of, this is what the truth is, and this is what I'm going to shape my life on. But we all look at the alternative. You can't help but do that. And so what we need is a faith which is a deep-seated conviction, firm belief based on the truth we've heard. You know, it's not Pastor Whitman's truth, amen? And it's not your parents' truth. It's the Word of God. It's God's truth. Faith or conviction based on the Word of God is the most secure foundation any young person can have today. people here today have a great responsibility based on the truth that you've heard. Not only the young people, but every person in this room that hears the truth week after week and is in the Bible, you have a responsibility to do something with it, and it's a firm foundation for your life. You know, many people misconstrue the passage in Proverbs that says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." Some people have misconstrued it to think that a child may never. Well, I'd ask you, first of all, to look in the mirror. Have you? Amen. Yeah, you faltered. It doesn't mean that. It means, I believe, that when we train up a child in the way he should go, that truth, that training in which we have instilled in their lives, that young person can never depart from what they've heard and learned. It'll always be a solid foundation. It'll always be a firm reference point for life. Thank God I had it. And you've been given a firm foundation in the truth you've heard, and it's going to be in your heart and mind a constant reference point. So guide your life by it. It'll certainly go much better. What a solid foundation for making life's choices is established in the heart of a person who's grown up hearing the Word of God. I'd encourage you, don't try to establish a new faith, but build on the same faith, for your faith based wholly on God's Word. Paul could see evidence in Timothy. He says it was in your grandmother and your mother, and it's in you too. I think about our young people, and I've seen evidence from them in different ways that shows me that that same faith is being instilled and beginning to be their guidepost in life. I could give examples, I won't this morning, of each one of these young people in different ways where I've seen their faith being demonstrated. But let me tell you, keep going. Keep going. Everyone here has today has to make sure that we're anchored our soul and our living on the Word of God. And we better keep walking with God. I found that the Christian life isn't made up of what I did yesterday. I'm made up and my future impacted by what I do today for the Lord. Yesterday's truth that helped me is not necessarily that which I need for today. And all the things you've heard growing up helped you then, but each day you're going to need to walk with the Lord and ask God for wisdom, for guidance, for help, for protection, that you will experience being sheltered in the arms of God. You have a solid foundation. Step forward and build on it. Salvation in Christ, wisdom from God's Word, build your life on these things. We all remember the song about the wise man and the foolish man, right? You ready to do it with me? I'm afraid I'd have a heart attack if I had too much movement up here, so I won't. The wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And what Jesus explained that. He heard the word, acted upon it, and his house was built on a firm foundation. The foolish man heard the word, but didn't act upon it. And when the storms came, that house, the house in which the person lived that heard the word of God but didn't apply it in his life, that house fell flat. We're all going to face storms in life. As a parent, the parents here would certainly wish that their children wouldn't have to face difficult circumstances, but they will. And what's going to make them solid is that they're firmly built on hearing God's word and applying it. The person who holds or builds his life on God's word is protecting himself from destruction during the difficult storms that are going to come. Some of the young people that we're associated with that we know have already had some different life. But God's word keeps you sure and steadfast. I'd encourage you to make the Bible, you've heard this before, make the Bible your reference point, and it will be a trusty compass as you navigate the sea of life. make the Bible the reference point. You're not going to mess it up, and you're not going to mess up if you let it guide you. Make obedience to the Bible your goal, and you and I will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So the sound foundation you have, please build on it. Secondly, stir up the gift. If you notice in verse number 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hand." Stir it up. God has given each of us, as his children, spiritual gifts to be used for his glory. Every person in this room, and young, you're launching your life for the Lord, God has given you spiritual enablings to be used in his service. Doesn't mean everybody will be a full-time Christian worker, but every Christian person, God has given spiritual enablings to be used for his honor and glory. Whether secular work, which is really spiritual activity for the Christian. Now, some people say, "Well, you get to serve the Lord full time." Well, if you're in the ministry, yeah, that's true. But everybody should serve the Lord full time in their secular job. You don't check God out when you check into work, right? And what a difference it can make when you look at your secular world as a realm that you can have influence for God. There's people there that need the Lord. Whether it's secular work or spiritual activity, full-time Christian work, God wants each of us to use the gifts, the enablings he's given his glory and be active in a local church all of our days. You hear many people say, "Follow your heart, follow your dreams." The Bible teaches us a fool trusts in his own heart. And so I just say, don't just follow your heart and dreams. Instead, each of us should yield our hearts to the will of God and let our dreams be the inner desire that God gives us to use them and for his glory. Notice the phrase "stir up" there in verse number 6. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee." The word "stir up" means to kindle up. It means to, like, you know, sitting around a fire pit and the wood burns, and after a while the logs begin to just glow red, and they're not flaming as much as they were, and then some of them will start to, and you get in there with a stick and you start poking them around, and pretty soon those hot coals get stirred up and those pieces of wood will begin showing a flame again. And that's what the idea is. Take the things that God has given you inside and stir them up. Let them burn. Let them glow for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stirring up. Kindling up. Stirring up what God has taught you and the things he's given you. So in each of truths we know and the gifts that God has given us, stir them up so that we can shed the light of Christ and spread spiritual warmth to those around us. What a world we have. You've heard me mention, you hear these young people that are marching to take away guns from people in our country. Because over 200 young people have been shot and killed, and that's terrible. It's outrageous. Why doesn't someone have to march for the 1.3 million young people that would have graduated this year were it not for abortion? Let's take real challenges. Take the gifts that God has given you, stir them up, and use them to influence this generation. I hate to think of it, but when I look in the mirror, I'm reminded that I'm on the latter end of my generation, right? Don't say right. And you know what? The young people, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, are the people that are going to be the light shining for God. Stir it up. Step forward and stir up the gifts, and don't let what God has given you be doused out with philosophies of the world or snuffed out by selfish dreams or self-centered ambitions. Don't let the pleasures of the world distract you from the will of God. The idolatry of the world, the immorality of the world, the intoxication of the world, these are things that distract us from serving God. Stir up the gifts and use them. Add to the fire the wisdom of God to apply them. The worst graveyard that exists is the graveyard where Christian talent lies buried and use what God's given you. And then some sober challenges Paul gave Timothy that are very appropriate for all of us today. In verse 8, he says, "Be not ashamed. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord." Challenges, sobering challenges. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen? We heard the testimony from Michael Girmay, born and reared as a Muslim in Iran. And he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, cannot go back to Iran because they'd cut his head off. Listen, and he's standing for the Lord and preaching to Islamic people via the radio and television now from the United States. We don't have that, but we have this peer pressure, this fear around us that causes us to be afraid to stand. Listen, stand for Jesus Christ, amen? Oh, stand. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the people of the Lord, your roots. Don't be ashamed of it. I have to admit, and I admit it from the standpoint of self-condemnation, as a young person before I got saved, at the age of 19, I kind of hated to tell people my dad was a pastor because I wanted to be like them. I kind of hated Bible-believing independent Baptist pastor. But I'm so grateful for what he was. Amen? Today. Please don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And if you know Christ is your Savior, you're not going to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven. Stand up for Jesus today. Don't be ashamed. Another sobering challenge is accept the afflictions. If you look in verse number 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his now partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." You know, the Bible says this, "They that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." You might miss a promotion because you stand for the Lord. You might have some friends that really ridicule you because you stand for the Lord. But be a partaker of it. Rejoice. They see something different in you. And so accept the afflictions of living right. They that live God shall suffer persecution. Living for God is a life that faces the resistance of the ungodly. Get used to it. Paul wanted Timothy to stand for God. Our church needs to be made up of people that stand for the Lord. And young people, decide today that you will stand for the Lord regardless of opposition. Make that stand now. It's harder to later. I found that when you meet people for the first time, if you make your stand for the Lord, they're going to stand with you or not. But if they're standing with you and you haven't made for your stand for the Lord and you compromise something, then you're faced with multiple choices. Oh no, do I stand now and forfeit this friendship? Stand for the Lord. Make Christ the center of your life and the circumference will take care of itself. Just stand for the Lord. The godless intellectuals will ridicule your faith. They'll see confidence in your heritage and in the Scripture. They'll attempt to cast doubt on the reality of the Lord who created us and died for us. Sometimes peers will pretend they have a better way than old-fashioned Christian living. But stand. A decision to stand today will determine a lot of the circumstances you will experience now and later. And then in verse 13, "Fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Hold fast. Not hold fast onto your salvation. He holds you fast. But hold fast to the truth that you believe, the teaching that you've learned from the Word of God. people of our day are being swept up into New Age Christianity, an amalgamation, a mixture of the philosophies and ways of the godless combined with Christian words and thoughts. The fundamental Bible preaching church is just as relevant in our society today as the New Testament churches were relevant in the book of Acts. Compromise makes the truth of God irrelevant. Conviction makes it relevant. Hold fast the sound words you've heard. God doesn't change. God's word is true. Look, with kids growing up and encourage them to say the Bible is the word of God, and saying Satan will try to rob that thought from you, but the Bible is the word of God. It's still the word of God when we graduate. It's still the word of God as young adults. It's still the word of God when we're married. It's still the word of God going through our process of work and seeking different levels of job opportunities. The Bible's still the word of God when a person retires. It's the word of God when we slip away into eternity. And then the last thought here, verse 14. The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Rely on the Spirit of God to help you. I can do all things through what? Christ strengtheneth me. We cannot successfully or faithfully live for God without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Christian walk is not a walk of the flesh. It's a walk of faith, empowered, energized by the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Spirit of God. Keep these things by the Holy Spirit. Your own power, relying on just your own abilities, will only impact the flesh. Relying on the Holy Spirit, asking God to fill us with His Holy Spirit, will help us to fulfill the will of God and do the right things, make the right choices, impact in a right way. Your own power will not keep you in a spiritual mindset. Boy, I've seen so many people slide out of church, and the power of the Holy Spirit subsides, and I've watched so many people shipwreck in different ways spiritually. We need to stir it up and be where it is stirred up. Walk with God. Lean on His Word and be filled with His Holy Spirit. You know, when King David was ready to graduate to heaven, and his son Solomon was ready to graduate to become the king, King David gave him some important advice. Listen to these words. Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He'll be found of thee. If thou forsake Him, He'll cast thee off. You won't have His blessing and power. David said, Solomon, I'm graduating and you're graduating. Know God. No, talk to Him. Know Him and serve Him and you'll have His blessing. I heard a story about a wealthy man who wanted to help a young builder who was financially. He gave him a job to build a beautiful house, and more than enough money to do the job. He told him to build the house in the best of ways with the best of materials. But the young builder instead cut every corner he could, used the cheapest of materials he could get by with, and pocketed the savings. When this young man was done with the house, the young builder gave to the wealthy man. And then the wealthy man strangely turned and handed the keys to the young man and said, "The house you built, young man, you built for you." My goal. When my life is over, I will surely give account. So today I must contribute into heaven's bank account. There are so many fields of interest time will not endure. Today I must engage myself in work that lasts for sure. Many dreams and goals have crossed my mind and through my parents too. Today I must pursue those dreams which bring God glory true. All I have to offer is what God has given me. Today I must mature those gifts, then use them faithfully. Some folks have sadly turned aside from God's will and don't. Today I must be vigilant to guard against that snare. God's glory is my one main goal through words and every way. Today I must direct my steps that well done he may say. Steps for your building. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray thoughts and minister to our hearts. Help us to continually build as we should for your honor and glory. But especially today, I pray for young people graduating. Pray for Austin, for Rosemary, for Skylar. Dear Lord, that you'd help them to be mindful of those truths they've learned and realize that you have given them spiritual gifts to be used for your glory. Do these things up and be used for you. Help them to hold on to the truth. Not be ashamed of their salvation. Help them to be lights in a dark world. Lord, help all of us to build lives over which you can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, if there's anybody here this morning that has not personally called on Jesus Christ, I pray that one or ones would make sure today that they're on their way to heaven. Lord, you know our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to anyone that's not saved and help them realize that all important need needs to be taken care of. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed momentarily, I wonder how many with truthfulness in their heart can say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I remember calling on you and asking him to come into my heart and wash away my sins and save me, believing he died and rose again for me. Thank God he has saved me." How many could slip up their hand with full assurance and say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. Amen. God bless you. Thank you." Put your hand down. If you couldn't raise your hand this morning, today would be the day to make certain. Today's the day of salvation. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that if you died today, heaven. In just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing. And when we do, if you'd come down the front and say, "Pastor, I want to make sure that I'm saved," we'll help you today get that settled. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, is there anyone who no one else is looking? You'd lift up your hand and say, "Preacher, I realize I'm not really born again. I need Christ as my Savior." Would you slip your hand? No one else is looking. Anybody? Anybody? Then how many would say, "Pastor, by the grace of God, I take good steps to continue building the life that God would be honored by. Pray for me." Who'd slip up the hand? All over. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. In just a moment, we'll stand together and sing. When we do, maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you just want to come and pray for someone. Maybe you want to come to God about something in your own life. Make the steps or the front pew there, your own little private prayer closet. Take your burden to the Lord and then sleep. When we stand together, let's let go and let God have his way. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless now the invitation. May we apply truth in our lives for your honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Number 331, "Have You Any Room for Jesus?"
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your love and goodness. We ask for your guidance the remainder of this day. And Lord, help all of us to live in such a way as your children, having been born again, help us to live in such a way that we do bring honor and glory to you and that we do have an impact on lost people around us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.